So for example, this idea of are we saying that basically anything that's balav and that isn't the malk, that isn't the misa, is not an av malacha and therefore is not applicable, you know, to yontif? Or are we possibly going to discriminate or distinguish between different, you know, different lavin? I'd say if the problem is the lav itself, in this sense, let's say havara lalav and tchumin maybe are closer to each other. The chamer, maybe it depends on whether mechamer is, you know, is viewed, you know, like which of the days of the Ramban, whether it's viewed as a standalone, you know, category, in which case maybe it's like Tchumen and maybe it's like Havara Lalav Yatzos, or whether it's viewed as kind of a diluted action, it's, you know, it's the same malacha. The malacha is an av malacha. The question is, you do it on your own or you do it remote control through the behema. So it's not, none of this is very simple at all, but the bigger principle in all of this is that the first day of Tosis is basically telling us a chiddush that you could argue with. And maybe some people do argue with it, as we'll see, maybe Rabbeinu Chananel, others. And that is that, or we'll see Maram Chalava, maybe we'll see. The first chiddush is that lalav or lachalek affects whether or not this is called a shem malacha. The second day of Tosis, I say, goes a giant step further by saying that the nafkamina isn't only linguistic or some other, you know, subtle questions or issues. The nafkamina is whether or not on Yom Tov there's an Isur or not. We'll get to that in just a second. There could be other nafkamina too. And then I'm just raising the question, what about parallel lavin and parallel essen, other satellites of Shabbos, do they apply to Yom Tov? But let me mention something else just for a minute. And that is the question of mumar. Last year when we learned chulin, we discussed the fact, you know, that a mumar l'chalos ha-Shabbos and a mumar l'chol ha-Torah kula. Right, according to the way Rashi reads it in chulin, is makhish implicitly, makhish b'maisa b'reishis. Okay, so we mentioned then, what level of violation of Shabbos is required in order to be considered a mumar kol Torah kula? Right? So what's obvious is if there is such a din, it certainly applies to an av malacha b'mezer. Right? What about havara lalav yatzos? That qualify for a mumar l'chol Torah kula if it's only a lav? For that matter, what about an aseh? Or what about tchumim? Right, or what about mechamer? So this idea that there can be things that are prohibited on Shabbos and that the different levels of onesh, right, and so on, impact on the actual status or stature of the Isur, and that in turn may determine whether, you know, we distinguish, you know, between different types of prohibitions for different dinim, like the transfer to Yom Tov, like what constitutes mumar l'chol Torah kula. Frankly, I always quote another one. Right, the Gemara says in Shabbos on Samach Tes Amud Aleph that why does the Mishnah say Ovos malachos are boim chaser achas, right? The Mishnah in Shabbos, Afayin Gimel and Beis. Mishnah says, you know, it actually does count the, you know, specific malachos. So why does it need to say that there are 39, that there are 40 minus 1 equal 39? So the Gemara says to teach you, Shemason kulam b'halam echad, because we pass in chiluk malachos, that you're chayav kol achas v'achas, but that you can never violate more than 39. So the Gemara says, how do you actually ever violate 39? The yadale, the Shabbos, the mai. Right? I've quoted this Gemara many times. It's very, very important Gemara. Meaning, as I like to explain it, you need a little knowledge, you know, in order to, you know, kind of identify and individuate your ignorance. Right? If you just don't know anything, then there's no point in detailing or specifying. I don't mean just practically, I mean even halachically, what it is you don't know. So the Gemara basically says this. The Gemara says, if helem zev zeb yado, if you don't know what Shabbos and you also don't know the malachos, right, then you chayv achas, no matter how many violations. Because the bigger truth is that you just don't know it's the day of Shabbos, or you don't know the concept of Shabbos, right? The only way to be chayiv specifically for each and every malacha as an individual malacha is if you have some knowledge. And then, you know this, right? You have a bigger knowledge, but you still don't know A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. And those are individual examples of your ignorance, right? But if you don't even know the category or the concept, you know, then what's the point, right? If somebody is, Tinok Shanishba Mibein Lebein Akum, so what are you going to say there? He doesn't know 613 mitzvahs. He doesn't know what Judaism is. You know, so that bigger lacuna, that bigger gap, kind of eclipses everything else. It's a very fascinating, you know, idea, but it's very compelling. It's really true, right? You can only rank or quantify ignorance when a person has a certain level of knowledge. So when the Gemara says about, you know, the 39 of us malacha, that you can violate all of the bivas achas, so the Gemara swoops in right away, and the Gemara says, how do you violate 39? What do you know that you count or calculate all the 39, you know, ignorances individually? What do you know? What do you know about Shabbos? Because if you core don't know anything, then you're only going to bring one korban. If it's helem zev zeb yado, you may only maybe achas. So the yodalei, the Shabbos, b'mai, what do you know that you can then say, oh, it's only shigas malacha? Right? So the Gemara then casts around. Where it says, they finally conclude, the yodalei l'tchumen aliba d'Rabbi Akiva. Tchumen is not one of the obvious malacha, but if you know it, you know something about Shabbos, so you're not completely ignorant. You have some notion about the general idea of Shabbos, maybe. You just got all the details wrong. So every detail is a separate strike, if you hold l'chalei katzos. So the Rishonim there ask, and let's say he knew about the mitzaseh, but not about the law. Let's say he knew about mechamer, but he didn't know about the lab. Let's say he knew, and so on, right? I always like to quote, the Ritva asks the question, well, let's say you knew about Kiddush and Havdalah, but you didn't know anything else about Shabbos. So the Ritva ends up answering, not quite in these words, but this is the way I understand it. If a person knows Kiddush, but he doesn't know any Isra Malacha or anything else about Shabbos, he doesn't really know Kiddush either. Doesn't understand what Kiddush is. I think it's a profound truth. I mean, the question of the Ritva, it resonates for us because, you know, we live in a world in which many Jews only know what Kiddush is. And they really don't understand what Kiddush is either, sadly. I wish they did. It's better that they know it than not know it still. But what am I trying to say? The Yadalei L'Shabbos B'mai, what's the Ritva telling us? That not any single factually accurate or correct details enough. That's not what we're saying. We're saying is you need to have some knowledge which gives you a frame of reference that makes what you don't know significant. So you need, you know, characteristic knowledge. If you just know something totally peripheral, that's not enough. So if that's true, right, that's like a good way of looking at all the questions that the Rishonim ask. Tosis Shanim, the Ramban, and so on. And what about the Mitzase? What about Kiddush? What about Mechamer? What about the Gemara said, Tchumen? Is that so Pashut? So what about Havar Lalav Yatzos? Okay? Let's say you don't know any of the Melachos. Right? But you know Melachos, you know Havara is Asur. But let's say we Paskin Havar Lalav Yatzos. Not Lechalik. Which according to these Rishonim means it's not really an Av Melacha, it's just Asur. Is that considered Yedias Shabbos enough that the rest of what you don't know is counted discreetly? Is that like knowing about Kiddush? Or is it like knowing about one or the other of us Malacha? Right? Just like we're asking, would you be considered a Moma Lachalas or Shabbos, Moma Lachal Tarakula if you just violated the Lav? Or do you need to violate it Av Malacha? So there could be quite a few other nafkamina in this question. But the question itself is a very fascinating issue. Just because something is Balav and not Bemisa, does that mean it's not an Av Malacha? A. B. What dinim depend on the stature and status of Malacha, as opposed to simply the fact and reality of being Asur? They're very important questions. So, for example, going back to the Riva, the second view in Tosis, Riva says, if it's not an Av Malacha, it would apply to Yontif. By the way, we've talked similar questions about Muktza, right? Does Muktza apply to Yom Tov? I mean, we know it does, but and other such things. Oh, so let's think for a moment. It seems like there are two deos in Tosis. Both deos in Tosis agree that there's no shame av malacha if it's only a lav. But they do seem to argue whether that also determines whether you violate Yom Tov or not. Why do you need a shame av malacha to violate Yom Tov? Oh. But in order to understand that better, let's take a step back and ask a much bigger question, which we've discussed at other times. And that is, why is Isur Malacha, even Avos Malacha, Asur and Yom Tov to begin with? Now, I don't mean that the way it sounds. I don't mean how do we know it. We know it from Psukim, right? The Torah speaks in Parshas Emor, you know, and earlier in Parshas Bo, you know, and again, you know, in the other Parshios Amoadim, that Losa, you know, Komalecha Savoda Losasu, you know, from the Psukim, that you're not allowed to do avoda, melechas avoda, on Yom Tov. The question I'm asking more is a philosophical question, I guess. That is, why? Meaning, as we said many times, Shabbos is also b'melacha for a very, very good and compelling reason. Why? Because that's Zecher l'maisa b'reishis, kivo shavatz mikol melachto, asher bara Elokim lasos. Even if you want to, you know, invoke, you know, Zecher l'tzias Mitzrayim, of the second Aseres HaDibros, you know, which is, you know, much more problematic. Okay, there are some Rishonim who explain, you know, Avida Avada Ma'is Hayinu Bepari B'Mitzrayim. You know, so there's something about Shvisa Mimalacha or Avoda. But the main one, of course, is Kivo Shavas Mikom Malachto, Asher Bar Lekim La'asos. And that's why the theme of Shabbos is ceasing and desisting from Malacha. That's the main expression of Shabbos. However, what does Yom Tov have to do with? There's no Kivo Shavas Mikom Malachto on Yom Tov. Right? There's Zeichel Maisa, there's Zeichel Yitzias Mitzrayim, there's Man Matan Torah Seinu, there's Man Simcha Seinu, you know, there's Kiva Yom HaZeicha Per Aleichem, there's, you know, Yom HaZikaron or Zikaron Trua. What does that have to do? There's no din of Zecher, right? L'Shvisas Hashem. So why is there an Isra Malach at all? Right? That's a question. So this is a question that I have spoken about in the past to try to explain two things. Number one, why Shabbos appears in the beginning of the Parshas HaMoedim and Parshas Emor. Parshas Emor, when the Torah says, Ela Moed Hashem Asher Tigrosa Mikrai Kodesh, Elohim Moedoi, right, instead of beginning with what we would have expected, which is either Rosh Hashanah or Pesach, the Torah transitions first into Shabbos, right? Sheish Hashem Tiasa Malacha, and so on. And only then, after spending 2-3 psukim on Shabbos, does the Torah, you know, almost start all over again. Looks like a second start. And then they deal with Korban Pesach on Yudalid, you know, and especially Chagamatzes. And all the, you know, commentators, you know, beginning with the Medrash Halacha, and of course all the Rishonim, and later the Akronim, you know, pick up on this problem. And they all try to figure out why is Shabbos in this parsha? Why is Shabbos, you know, here as the first of the Moedim? Right, and Chazal discuss Shabbos at Grimoed, Moed at Grishabbos, the whole issue. In addition, I'd like to point out that in Parshas Emor, that's the first time the Torah designates Shabbos as Mikra Kodesh. Mikra Kodesh is the theme of the parsha, and it's also used with regard to Shabbos itself, which is atypical until this point, in Parshas Emor. So what I always like to explain is that Parshas Emor is written, you know, by the Rabbanu Shalom, of course, you know, perfectly, Torah Hashem Tamima, and that the point of it is to establish Yom Tov. But if you want to understand Yom Tov, and especially want to understand why there's an Isra Malacha on Yom Tov, when there's no theme specifically of Isra Malacha on Yom Tov, there's no parallel to Kivo Shavas Mikom Malachto Asher Bara Lekim La'asos. So if you want to really understand it, then what you need to explain is that Shabbos, like we say in our Kiddush, depending on the year, so, right, is Yom Techila LeMikroi Kodesh. That's why Shabbos here is referred to as Mikroi Kodesh, or Mikro Kodesh, meaning Shabbos wears two hats. Shabbos is Shabbos, and that's very specific. Kivo Shabbos Mikol Malachto Asher Bara Elokim La'asos. Shabbos is also the paradigm, the first historically, and also the ontological first, right, of Kedusha and of a Yom Kodesh, of any Kiddush, actually, but as a Yom Kodesh. So that's what we mean when we say Techila LeMikrei Kodesh, a Yom Techila LeMikrei Kodesh. In a way, in my opinion, that answers both questions. Why do all of a sudden in Parshas Emor is Shabbos called Mikra Kodesh? A, what Shabbos is doing, it seems like a distraction from what should be a focus on the Moadim. B, answer to both is, if you want to understand the Moadim and the components of Yisra Malacha in the Moadim, what you have to understand is that we imported that from Shabbos, because Shabbos, in addition to being Shabbos, is also Tchilul Mikrei Kodesh. It's the paradigm of a Yom Kodesh. And therefore, by taking that framework, right, for every Yom Tov, to give it a tzura of Kedusha, of Ruchnias, therefore, that's the Parsha of Mikra Kodesh, and that's why there's an Isra Malacha. Oh, but if that's the case, so then we can better appreciate also what the Mishnah means in Masechet Megillah, when the Mishnah says that Ein Bein Shabbos LeYom Tov, right? Ela Ochol Nefesh Bilvah. Right, one of the Ein Bein Mishnayos in Megillah, the Mishnah says the only difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov is Heter Ochol Nefesh. And the questions plural, are obvious. We know that there's more than one nafka mina between Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the Yerushalmi immediately and Rashi and Tosas in Megillah note this as well. Say, after all, onshin, right? Shabbos is a death penalty. Yom Tov, there's Malkus, right? Shabbos, there's Korban, Shkaga, even for Shkaga. Yom Tov, for Mezid, there's Malkus, no Misa, and there's nothing for Shkaga. Yerushalmi asks us, Rashi and Tosas ask it, in Megillah. It's hard to understand what they're answering. No, when we say Ein Bein, we mean content, we don't mean consequences. Right? Meaning, what things are prohibited, not what not what punishment you get if you violate. Okay. That's an answer. How satisfying is it? There are other distinctions between Shabbos and Yom Tov. I mentioned before, Chiluk Malachos Shabbos, in Chiluk Malachos, right, be Yom Tov. So when it comes to Shabbos, every violation is an independent violation. When it comes to Yom Tov, right, we tend to look at the violation as being uniform. Even though you do many malachos, if it's one hasra, you only get one malchus. So why isn't that on the Ein Bein list? I don't want to get into all the details. It's a separate topic in Shir. I'm just trying to give you a quick tamsis to make this point. Okay, what is this point? My belief is that when the Mishnah says that the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov is Heter Ochol Nefesh, the Mishnah never had intention of an exhaustive list. They weren't conveying that there's only one technical difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. There's a handful, least, including Onesh. What they were trying to say was, do you want to really understand the nature, the character of the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov? It's all embodied by the Heter Ochol Nefesh. In what sense? In the sense that Shabbos, there's no Heter Ochol Nefesh. Now, there could be various reasons for it, but for our purposes now, we're going to just take one approach. There's no Heter Ochol Nefesh because there's Iser Malacha that is intrinsic. Because the reason for Iser Malacha b'Shabbos is Givo Shabbos Mikol Malach Toa Shabbar L'Kim L'Asos. So heterochol nefesh isn't an excuse to violate that level of commemoration. By the same token, if you violate malacha on Shabbos, especially on malacha, there's a death penalty. It's a theological slap in the face to the Rabbonu Shalom. This is why, by the way, Mumar L'Chal Shabbos, Mumar L'Chal Torah Kula, like Rashi said, you're kofer b'maisa b'reishis. So there's a death penalty, too. I'm talking about B'mezid, of course. B'mezid B'Asra. There's Chiluk Malachos B'Shabbos, because every malacha that you do chips away at Kedusha Shabbos, which is defined by Kibosh Shavas Mikol Malachto. And Kol Malachto, each malacha, is a separate dagger, you know, aimed at the sanctity of Shabbos, if you will. But Yom Tov doesn't have any of that, because it's not Kibosh Shavas Mikol Malachto. So what is it? The answer is, what Yom Tov took from Shabbos was the tzura of a Yom Kodesh, Mikra Kodesh, Tchila Mikra Kodesh, the second hat of Shabbos. Shabbos starts off as Shabbos, and I don't mean in time that there's a difference, let's call it ontologically, on some, like, you know, on some objective level, you know, it also, as Lamaisa, de facto, the first day of Kedusha, that establishes it also as a model and a paradigm. It's Chilul Mikra Kodesh. That's what Yom Tov picks up from Shabbos. That's why in Parshas Emor, we start with Shabbos, and we call Shabbos Mikra Kodesh. Now, since on the one end we take from Shabbos the principle of a Yom Kodesh, at the same time, we don't take from Shabbos the theme of Kivo Shavas Mikol Malachto. So the compromise is expressed in the Heter V'Ochol Nefesh. Only Malachas Avoda is prohibited, not Malachas Hana. Because Malachas Hana L'Yomei is actually a Kiyum in Yom Tov, and in Kedushas Yom Tov, and in Simchas Yom Tov, maybe even. So what the Mishnah means is, Ein Bein Shabbos LeYom Tov Ela Heter Ochol Nefesh Bilvad. No, there are 5-10 other examples. Chiluk Malachos, Chomer HaOnesh, right? But Heter Ochol Nefesh captures the whole idea. It captures this bigger idea that there are two types of Yisra Malacha. One is a paradigm for Yom Kodesh, and the other is part of an intrinsic recognition of Shvisa Mimaisa Bereishis. Oh, so if that's the case, that we can appreciate a lot of things. One of the things that we can appreciate now is maybe what the Riva is saying. Because what did the Riva say? Riva says, Havara, there's a debate. Chalik Yatzos or Lav Yatzos? Says the Riva. Well, says both Jews in Tosas, or Rashi and both Jews in Tosas. At stake here is not merely the Onish if you're Mavir the Shabbos. At stake is a conceptual appraisal, a definition of what Havara really is. Is Havara an Av Malacha? Or is it simply a Lav? So the second day of Tosas, the Riva says, in my opinion, the only things that were transferred for Yom Tov were Av Malachos, because they are issues that have to do with the Yom Kodesh, with Mikra Kodesh. But every Stam Iser of Shabbos, right, is also transferred to Yom Tov. Why? There's no Iser Malach on Yom Tov, per se. So the only thing that's transferred just like the onish isn't transferred, right? And just like chiluk malachos are not transferred, there are a lot of pratim of Shabbos that are not transferred. If havara lalav means it's a prat in Hilchos Shabbos, not part of the scaffolding, if you will, the structure of av malacha, of the yom, so it's not transferable to yom tov. Maybe that's exactly what the Riva has in mind. Okay.
Rav, can I just ask you, please, just understand the pshat. What, first of all, how do we know, based on what you're discussing, I've heard before, but how do you know that Yom Tov has a din of Kedusha? That's an assumption based on the book, but it doesn't say in the Torah anything that Yom Tov should have Kedusha.
Mikra Kodesh.
Yeah.
Why is it Mikra Kodesh doesn't...
So how do you know that's... but how do you know that's a comparison to the Shabbos is the example of the Mikra Kodesh? In other words, you're connecting the Shabbos...
Parshas, I mean, the Torah and Parshas...
Emor, right.
Calls every Yom Tov Mikra Kodesh.
Kodesh.
Every Yom Tov is called Mikra Kodesh. I mean, in Parshas, Ela Modi Hashem Ashitikro Samikrai Kodesh. Every Yom Tov is called a Mikra Kodesh.
Right, say that.
Every Mikra Kodesh is connected with, practically, we don't want to talk about Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah right now, but Komalecha Savoda Losas. So that's how we know the connection, that every Yom Tov has Kedusha, and that that Kedusha is also manifest in the Isra, at least on Malecha Savoda, which the Ramban thinks is a signification of Isra Malacha, but hetero kol nefesh.
Okay, the other question about Pshat is, when you say L'chalek Yotzos, it's a different paradigm in the case of Shabbos, where L'chalek Yotzos is an Aver Rishogeg, and the Havamin of having Yontif was that you're getting, you say, oh, you're not going to get different Malchus for each Malacha you do. But that's Mazed. That's not
Shogeg. Right. Well, the difference between Chiluk Malachos B'Shabbos and Chiluk Malachos B'Yom Tov, that's a really good point. If you look very carefully, you know, at Rashi and Makos on Chaf Aleph, I think he's really saying what you're saying, which is, I mean, objectively, it's hard to know how to assess that, you know, that distinction. So I think at Rashi in Makos, you know, seems to be accentuating what you are, which is, it's not a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov per se. It's a difference between Shogig and Mezid, or between Malkus and Chatas, which parallels Shogig and Mezid, but doesn't, it's not the same either. So you could say that. For example, what about Shvius? That's an interesting question. And that's Machlokas already shown him. 2 days in the Ramban, and the Ritva in Makos there, we just say Chiluk Malachos B'Shvius, right? They're B'Lav and B'Malkus, like Yom Tov, but unlike Yom Tov, there's a concept of Shvisa Mimalacha as part of the main theme. So I always thought, I think you have to look at the Tosas Shants there, and the Ramban, and the Ritva. I always thought that that might be, you know, one way to test it out. I should say that the Minchas Chinuch, when we've done Shabbos and Yom Tov topics, you know, way in the past, you know, we've discussed this, but the Minchas Chinuch did think that Ein Chiluk Malachos B'Yom Tov V'Yesh Chiluk Malachos B'Shabbos was a very relevant issue. The only thing is, he thought it was Gzeiros HaKasuv. And his issue was, like, which is the exception and which is the rule? He thought that the Yom Tov was actually the rule. And really, in Shabbos, it's also kind of one integrated, you know, Iser. The only thing is that, you know, there's a Gzeres HaKasuv, you know, of Chiluk Malachos, of our L'chalek Yatzas, which teaches you that L'maisa, you know, we divide them up, we separate them out. But that we see he discusses this in the context of, you know, can you overlap the Hasra'os? Is there Tziruf, you know, Lishior? You know, so he says, oh, you know, the fact that Ein Chiluk Malachos B'Yom Tov, you know, is relevant even on Shabbos for being mitzarev the different malachos this year. Say, what does one thing have to do with the other? According to what you're saying, which I think is what Rashi and some of the other Rishonim are saying as well. So I like it, but Michas Chinuch obviously is learning that way, which is that this distinction is a distinction between Shogig and Mezid, or between Malkus and Chatos. It's not a distinction between, you know, Shabbos and Yontif, and it's not Midi Yom Tov Nishma that it's a special Xeris HaKasuv on Shabbos, and that, you know, the Ikar is what we see from Yom Tov, even on Shabbos, Lagabe Tzira Flashir. So the point is that there is a range of views and understanding what that distinction is. You're correct. Some people say what you said, but obviously not everybody thinks that. Right?
Okay, thank you.
Okay. So now let's from there go very quickly. Oh, we have to stop. So let me just say the question actually you brought up last week, Dr. Maybrook, about Rabbeinu Chananel. I guess I'll finish it next week. But so Rabbeinu Chananel is a different answer. Because again, it is a little bit tamua. Like, what does, how can you prove from this Gemara that, again, so according to, how can you prove in this Gemara that, you know, the Chalek and the Labiyah says? So again, just to make it clear, according to the Riva, the proof is, according to Rashi in the first day of Tosas, it's a linguistic proof. We call it Av Malacha. According to the Riva, the proof is because Rabbi Akiva is assuming that Havara, all things being equal, is Asur B'Yom Tov. Why would it be Asur B'Yom Tov at all if it's only the Lav Yatzos? Right? The only things that passed on, exported, you know, to Yom Tov, were Yisurei Av Malacha. Right? So that's how he interprets. But the Rach has a different pshat. We mentioned it last time. The Rach says, because if we're only allowed, then we'd say, we'd apply the din of Ein, we'd apply the din of Ase Dochalos Ase. Okay? One second. Where does he say it? You're on Hamid Beis. He says, Diso Kadai Dechalav Yatzos, Tesi asei dahashbasas chametz lidchi lav dahavara. Okay? So for him, it's not a linguistic point at all. The truth is he may not even agree with the linguistic and substantive point. Maybe the difference between Havara l'lav and Havara l'chalek is just in the level of onesh and not in the question of shame av malach at all. But then you're left with a very funny idea, which is, and this is what the Mefarshim all speak about, and the Arzarua raises this question, that is, the din of aseh d'chalos aseh doesn't apply if it isn't l'lav. If it's a chalik yatzos, there's no ase de chalos ase? Why is that? So, the Arzarua, well, the school will read it in next week. I'll try to, you know, get the Mar Makomos out more quickly, especially now that I know that Zev is back. Our recordings are going to be, you know, guaranteed in our, you know, our Mar Makomos sheets. So, you know, Eretz Yisrael's lost. Listen. So what they, some of them suggest is that implicitly what we mean here is whether or not it's a case of ase dochalos ase, but in ase dochalos ase vi ase. So what's the ase? Tashbisu. What's the los ase? Right? Komalacha savoda. But usually there's also an assay of Yom Tov, and that is the assay of you know, Shabbason or Tishbos or the Lashonos that we find in the Torah that imply that there's a positive requirement of Shvisa. So, you know, in the Sugya of Aseh Do Chalos Aseh, we have this rule, Ein Aseh Do Chalos Aseh V'Aseh. So maybe what's really being said here is that if Havara is L'Lav Yatzas, then it's only Alav. But if Havara is L'Chalek Yatzas, then it's Alav and an Aseh. Why? What does that have to do with, whether there's an assay have to do with the quality and nature of the lav? So that's why I think it's hard to dispense, you know, with the first point. Maybe the idea is, again, this is a different expression, you know, maybe we're not saying what the Riva is saying, which is that the lav, you know, doesn't apply at all to Yom Tov, because I'm not ashamed of Malacha. But maybe what we are saying is that there are two types of Yisr Malacha on Shabbos, and one of them also carries an Aseh, and the other does not. And that if we're dealing with Av Malacha, when the Torah says Tishbos or Tishmor or whatever, the Torah is saying Min Av Malacha. But something which is Alav Bialma, which isn't Av Malacha, is still Alav, but there's no accompanying Aseh. And therefore, it's more open to Aseh to Chalos Aseh. Or maybe what we're saying is that that at least is true with regard to Yom Tov, even if it's not true with regard to Shabbos. In other words, maybe the role of the Aseh generally is different between Shabbos and Yom Tov, but especially in the absence of Isra Malacha, of Av Malacha. So I'm going to try to explain why that might be true. I'll try to bring in the Or Zeruah and Tosfos Reid. I'll explain that next time very quickly. And then I want to move on to the Mitoch part, the second Shema Mina. I'll just get that on the record. Shema Mina lo minan hol v'utra bar l'tzorech, v'utra na mishalo l'tzorech. The second Shema Mina is that if you believe in the principle of Mitoch, so why not say you can do Tashbisu on Yom Tov even though it's Havara, you know, because it's Mitoch Shehutu L'Tzorech. Ah, so how does this Gemara square with the Gemara Navava Ben Aleph, I think I mentioned already last week, that said that if you find Chometz on Pesach, Kofa Olav Asakli, you cover it up. It sounds like you can't burn it. Why not? Why can't you burn it? We paskin mitoch. Rabbi Kiva paskin that we don't say mitoch. But we paskin mitoch. That's a question that bothered the Rishonim and some of the Akronim. So I want to finish off a little bit more of a discussion of Avar Lelav Yatzos and Aseh. And then I want to talk more about a little more about mitoch. And then we'll move on to the next Gemara.